At this point, I'm starting to think it's probably just something to do with me. I've had another incident at McDonald's this week. More on that after the theme tune. You are listening to episode 14 of the That's a Freebie podcast. The title of this episode is, I Just Want Porridge. Listen this week as I talk about more shenanigans in McDonald's. I watch an Australian cooking show, and we answer another question from ChatGPT. So this week's incident at McDonald's, this could start to become a weekly thing if it carries on. I'm hoping there won't be many more. One second. I do still have a cough. It is getting better, but I still have a cough. So I will probably continue to coughing throughout this podcast. McDonald's, I ordered my porridge and coffee as I do most mornings. If you didn't hear last week's episode about the incident I had in McDonald's where I got attacked by an old woman with a walking stick, then do go back and have a listen. But this week isn't quite as severe. I ordered my porridge, I ordered my coffee, and I don't know if you've actually noticed this at McDonald's, but it always seems to take ages for porridge, unless it's just at the branch that I'm at. The porridge, on average, takes about 10 minutes, and I do think they just forget. They put it in the microwave, they turn it on, they turn away, they start chatting away. Usually it's chatting away because there's not many orders usually at the time that I'm there. Every now and then it's really busy, but not often. And I think they just genuinely forget, because eventually you see someone point at the microwave and go, is the porridge in there? And then the porridge comes out. So yeah, anyway, that's not the incident. The incident is completely unrelated to porridge, believe it or not, even though I've talked about porridge a lot. So orders my porridge, orders my coffee, all right? The order appeared on the, you know, where you've got the board where it's got your number on. It appeared on the to collect side. And then about three other orders appeared on the to collect side a good couple of minutes after mine. And then they all just disappeared, including mine, as if it had been collected. And I saw these people pick their orders up. None of them had porridge in their orders, so they'd not given my porridge to somebody by accident or anything like that. That's what I was maybe thinking at first, but then I realised that that just hadn't happened. So I'm watching them, and I could tell they were confused about something. Like, they kept eyeing me from the side, you know, like, looking at me thinking, you could tell they were thinking, what's he here for? Or something like that. And that's all I could think. And, they're talking to each other. One of them runs round the side to the coffee station, and I could hear them whispering. I couldn't tell what they were saying, but I could tell that they were muttering. And then we'd come out, and another person would look at me. And then the manager, I know it's the manager just from being there previously. They've got a badge on that says manager. I see her every morning. She actually stepped to the side, so she was hiding behind the wall so that I couldn't see her, because she just got uncomfortable with me being there, I think, like looking at them. And then I started to realise that two of the people that were working there were clearly looking for something. They'd lost something, basically, and I couldn't work out what. But they were picking like the bags up and looking underneath the bags. Yeah. Things that nothing could possibly have gotten underneath, because they'd been just in the little chute that they have for the bags. So nothing could have gotten underneath them. But they were clearly worried and they were looking for something. They kept walking back to the coffee station. So I was like, oh, okay. They've probably lost my coffee. At this point, I worked it out. They don't know where the coffee is. Now, I ordered a very specific coffee, because I ordered a toffee latte with no cream, because I'm lactose intolerant and the cream isn't good for me. I know there's milk in it, but I can handle a little bit of milk. That's not a problem. The issue is the cream. It's just so heavy that it causes me issues. By this point, I could work out they've lost my coffee. That's definitely what's happened here. And I was like, well, in my head, I'm thinking, why not just make another, right? At this point, just make another one. Anyway, as I'm thinking that, and I was thinking, right, I'm just going to say something at this point. One of the people who previously collected their order walked over and said, "Oi, this is coffee, not Coke," right? Which I thought was a really weird thing to have not realised when you first picked your order up, because the cartons, the cups are completely different. Why could I not think of the word cup then? The cups are completely different. It's very obvious which one's coffee and which one's Coke. And the person who'd been looking around walked over, picked the coffee up, took the lid off, looked inside it, and she went, "Oh," and looked directly at me, right? She then reached behind her and grabbed a Coke, passed it to the other customer, and the other customer left, right? She put the lid on, she ran round the corner, and then immediately, like, not even a three-second gap, immediately walked away from the coffee station, put it on the tray, put it down on in the area where they picked the food up, and picked the tray up, which then I sort of had my porridge on, right? So she brought me the coffee and the porridge over, and so obviously it's the coffee that she's just been given by another customer, and it had been out of her sight for at least 3 minutes, I would say. So I thought, I don't want that coffee, because that is very clearly been to somebody else's table. So I said, is that the coffee that other customer just brought back? And she said, yeah. So I was like, could you make me a fresh one, please? I don't want to be a pain, but it's been out of all of our sight for a long time. We don't know what's happened. She might have tried to drink from it and then realised it's not Coke, because she couldn't tell from the cup, could she? Thinking, you know, she'd laugh at that and go, oh, okay. And she went, ugh. Turned around, went round behind the coffee station. You know, you can't see the area where they make coffee at this McDonald's. It's behind a wall. So she went round behind the wall, right? She must have counted to five and then came back, plunked it down. And she went, there you go, there's a fresh one. And so I said, that can't be fresh. And she said, well, it is. You saw me go and get it. So I said, but it can't be, because you can't have made the one that I ordered that quickly. And she said, no, we have them all made up, sat waiting. So I said, okay, so what is it then? And she just went, it's coffee. I was like, no, what's the order? It was a very specific order, so what is it? And she says, I don't know, I didn't make it. So I was like, well, why don't you go and ask the person who made it? And then she just went, oh, all right, I'll go get you a fresh one. This time she was gone for a while, and hopefully I got the fresh one. Actually, thinking about it, I must have got the fresh one, because she left the other one on the counter while she went and did it. So I got my toffee latte with no cream that hadn't been touched by somebody else. Hopefully, I'm not going to think about what could possibly have happened. It's been another fairly quiet week. Nothing particularly exciting has happened. The only thing that I did get to do that I was both impressed and not quite impressed with, still overall an impressive thing, I traded my old phone in. I know that's exciting, isn't it? Ooh, I gave a phone back. I went around for a few prices, and the best price I was able to get was from Music Magpie. You've probably heard of them. They used to be advertised on TV a lot. I don't know if they still are. So I traded it in there. They were actually £100 more than pretty much anywhere else that I got a price from, which was surprising. So I definitely went to them, and I did get the money. It's not one of those where they quote £100 more and you get less. I'll tell you that right away. I did actually come out with the money that I expected. Well, almost the money I expected. I'll come back to that. So they quoted me. I did it all on the website. They quoted me £460, which was exactly £100 more than anywhere else had quoted. So I was a little bit, like, I didn't want to post it off because, it takes time. And then I discovered that they do these new machines. You go and you scan your phone into the machine and it takes it. You do it all on the website first. Looking at the machine, I think you can do it directly from the machine, but I'd already filled it on the website. So I get a little QR code and I went to the machine that's local to me. It's actually really close, like 2 minute drive away. So I went there. It's dead straightforward. You have to sign out of your Apple ID, you will raise the phone, and then you scan your QR code on the machine. It opens up a little window and it says, display your IMEI number on the screen, and then put your phone in. So on an iPhone, which is the phone that I was trading in, it's erased at this point, so it's not set up. You tap a little I button, which is the letter I in a circle, not an I as in the I you see with, on the screen, and it pops up your IMEI number, serial number, and something else, I can't remember what else shows up. Puts it on the little tray, the door closes and locks it in there, the machine says, scanning your device. And it failed the first time, saying that it couldn't read the IMEI number. So I was like, okay. I wasn't really paying attention. I was just sort of letting it do its thing. I was actually on my other phone at the time sending an email or something, so I wasn't really paying attention. I just, when it failed, I heard the tone to say it had failed. So I tried it again, and this time I watched it. And, of course, what happens is the IMEI number's on the screen, but after a minute or two, the screen locks, or the screen goes dim, Technically, I suppose it doesn't lock because you've not set your passcode up at this point. So the screen goes off is probably the best way of describing it, right? The machine was so slow at connecting to the internet that it was turning, the phone was turning off before it got a chance to do it. So it took me about maybe 6 or 7 attempts for it to actually do it. And the problem is because the little window's closed to the front, you can't just reach in and tap the screen to turn it back on. So that was the only bad part of the process. So forgetting that that happened, I mean, that could be down to any number of things. It might not have even been their fault. It might have been the quality of the connection at Asda. I don't know if it's Wi-Fi or wired or what, this machine. But it does give you a progress indicator on the screen and a little green ticks tell you as it goes along. Eventually, it did. So it must have established its connection in the previous attempt. And then I've gone to do it again, and it's still got the connection established at that point because it did it on the, I think it was the 7th attempt. It just did it straight away. It immediately picked up the IMEI number. The screen went dim, but it didn't matter at that point because from what I can see, the machine must have a camera in the top and a camera in the bottom, and then it looks at the phone. And it actually contacts a person on the other end who looks through these cameras to check the cosmetic condition of the phone. It's really, really clever. And so it did that. And then when it's done it, it says, here you go. Here's your quote. Do you agree to the quote? You press yes. And then it pops up a big message on the screen that says, this is your last sort of, this is the last point of no return. Do you agree to the quote? Yes. If you do, your phone will be taken away and the money will be instantly transferred to your bank account because you've filled all that in online beforehand. So all great. So I said, yes, I'm fine with that. And then basically a little arm comes along and it swipes the phone to the side, to the right, and then it pushes it upwards and it's just gone. I'm assuming under there, I'd love to see inside one of these machines and see how it works. But I assume in there there's either like a set of, I don't know, like shelves where it puts them. A bit like, have you ever seen those car parks that that essentially pick your car up and take it to a car parking space and store it away? In there, that's what it looks like in my head. Either that or it just puts it into boxes, but that would seem a bit wasteful if it does that. So yeah, that was good. I only have 2 complaints over the whole process. Well, 3 if you count the connectivity issues, but I'm really going to let it off on the connectivity issues. You can't really predict how good your internet connection is going to be at times. So I'll let it off for that. Now, what my first complaint is that it cost £20 to do this. So I was initially quoted £460 for the trade-in. But if you want to use one of their machines, it costs you an additional £20. So they take that off the overall price. So it brought it down to £440. Now, ordinarily, I wouldn't pay £20 for something like that. However, I really wanted to use the machine. I wanted to see what it was like. And I wanted the convenience of not having to post it away. And more importantly, the last time I sent a phone to, it wasn't Music Magpie, it was another service. What's the other one called? Begins with an M, I'm sure it does. Oh man, that's going to really annoy me. It'll come to me, I'm sure. Oh. Mazuma Mobile. The last time I sent a phone to Mazuma Mobile, they sent me a notice saying that my phone has outstanding finance on it. And they were keeping it, basically. And that they were going to, And that I wouldn't get anything for it. I wouldn't get it back. I wouldn't get anything for it. It took a lot of back and forth with them. It turned out they'd put the serial number in wrong. Eventually, they admitted to me that they'd put 1 digit of the serial number in incorrectly. So I got the money for it, but it took months of that. I had to send them the receipts for the phone. So it wasn't even bought on finance. It was bought outright. There was no contract linked to that phone or anything. So I was a little bit wary about posting it away in case something stupid like that happened again and I didn't get it back. Anyway, using the machine, I felt like at least there's constantly a button on the screen that says, just give me my phone back. And you can press it at any time and it cancels the process. As long as you've not gone past the point of no return, it cancels the process, just opens the door and you can take your phone back. And you know, that's what made me want to use the machine. So for the additional £20 that I lost, I felt it was worth it for the peace of mind that if something went wrong, I wouldn't have to worry about waiting for it to be posted back. My only other complaint is, so it says we will send you the money instantly. I was like, great, that's really helpful. It took 2 hours. So again, quicker than normal. And when you go on their website, it does say, like, immediately as you press the green button to say, yes, I want to go ahead with this, your money gets sent to you. And it took 2 hours, which left me panicking, thinking that I'd put the wrong bank details in or something like that, because I have done that with something before. Fortunately, again, it was the bank details I put in that previous time for something else were completely incorrect, so it bounced back and I got the money back. But yeah, that was a bit of a scary moment. I logged into my account and the bank details were correct, so I realised I'd done it right, but it still took a good 2 hours, which is fine, but, you know, I would rather it not have taken 2 hours. So last week, I did a ChatGPT question and I got some good feedback from that, that a few people would like me to do that again. So guess what's coming up now? Yeah, I'm going to do a ChatGPT question. Now, what I've actually done, so because I'm using, because I'm using the ChatGPT app, it remembers the conversation, but it doesn't matter if you're using the app, it does it on the website as well. So what I've done, I've loaded up the conversation from last time where I said, give me a random dinner time topic, and it gave me the one about if you could spend a day in any historical period, when and where would it be and why? And obviously, if you want to hear the answer to that one, go back to last week's episode. Well, I've opened up that conversation again, and I'm just going to say, could I have another, please? I'm going to keep this conversation going so that it always knows what it's previously asked me, and we can always look back if necessary. So, could I have another, please? I think it's always nice to be polite to your ChatGPT overlord, don't you? Of course, imagine if every time you met someone new, instead of asking what do you do, you asked what's a passion project you're currently working on? How do you think that would change our conversations and relationships? Ooh, this topic encourages deep and meaningful conversations about personal interests and passions. Enjoy discussing. All right, so, well, first of all, the question is, how do you think it would change our conversations and relationships? First of all, I don't ask people what do you do when I first meet them. I say, hi, my name is, and then I say, and then I get their name, and then I forget it 10 seconds later, just like everybody else does, and then continue to call them the wrong name for the rest of their lives, because that's how things work, right? But I suppose if we did ask, you know, what's a passion project that you're currently working on, I think we would stump a lot of people, because sadly, I don't think people have time for passion projects anymore. I'm thinking about myself. I suppose I currently have two passion projects that you could say I'm working on. One of them is this podcast, because it is something that I really think about throughout the course of the week and try to come up with content ideas for. And the other passion project is my learning to code, which is not going very well, if I'm being completely truthful. I've got to a stage now where I'm learning some more complex things within it, but I don't feel like I'm getting it, you know what I mean? I think because I'm not putting it to any practical use yet. Like, I can complete the tasks. I get 100% on all the little exam things that they do and all that kind of stuff. I'm understanding the content, but I can't picture how these things are used. You know, like, some things I can say, yes, okay, that makes sense. And based on the examples that they give, like, they give, like, building a weather app and things like that. Like, I can understand how that's working, what they're doing, but I'm like, well, how does it know this information? How does it know that information? And I'm sure once it all starts coming together, it'll make a lot more sense. The problem is, at the moment, I'm learning the fundamentals of what the different parts of the code are, and I just can't see how they link together. I'm sure that will happen. But yeah, so that's one of the passion projects, and the other one is the podcast itself. I actually think a question like that might actually stump conversation rather than help conversation. You know, asking somebody what they do means that you're putting them in a comfort zone and they're able to talk openly and freely about something that they're aware of and something that they know. Whereas if you're asking what a passion project is, you know, yes, there will be some people who will have a great answer for that and they'll be able to talk about their hobbies, I suppose, rather than their work, which is much more enjoyable for most people. But I do genuinely think that, you know, the current world that we live in, people don't have time for passion projects. And if they do, that time just gets eaten away and they don't have the time that they want. So you'll probably find that it'll depress a lot of people because they'll say, well, I have got this that I'm working on, but I just don't get the time to do it. And they'll end up not annoyed, but upset that they're not working on something that they love, unless they also happen to really love their work, which is great. If you can do what you love, you should do that. So thank you, ChatGPT, for that question. I think we might even start visiting that as a subject each week, maybe. We'll see. If I've got a particularly busy week, we might skip it. But I do enjoy the randomness of it. Do have a little bit of a follow-up on an annoyance this week, and an actual annoyance itself. Although it's not really an annoyance, it's more of an observation. But yeah, so my follow-up is that in one of the very early episodes, I talked about how people stop their cars in unusual places to let you go. It's completely unnecessary to let you go. It just causes problems more than anything. So when I head to work in the morning, there's a huge roundabout. I park my car on a car park. Like a park and ride thing. I park at a car park. I walk from the car park, and then there's just a huge roundabout, and it's traffic light controlled, so it's not that easy to, you know, go the wrong way. But for some reason, everybody does go the wrong way on this roundabout. It's a bit of a strange one. I mean, that's not even the annoyance, really. It's one of those, though, that's got three very clear lanes. It says, this lane goes here, this lane goes here, and this lane is for all other traffic, right? And for some reason, everybody ends up in the all other traffic lane, and they want to go elsewhere, and they end up cutting across three lanes of traffic. And the crossing that I have to cross over is the lane that this traffic goes round. It's the left-hand lane, and everybody ends up in the right-hand lane, and they just cut across. So because they're busy cutting across the traffic, they don't really pay much attention to pedestrians and things like that. Now, the pedestrians should wait, because it's not, that part isn't traffic light controlled. There's not a crossing there. But what does happen is pedestrians look across, and you can, as a pedestrian, you can see how the roundabout works a little bit better. So you look across and you think, well, that car's in the third lane. There's absolutely no way it's getting off this exit. And then all of a sudden they come careening across at your exit. So I've obviously over time learned to just wait and hold on. So yesterday this was actually, I'm waiting to cross. There's quite a few cars on the roundabout, and, you know, the traffic lights change. The cars from the opposite side of the roundabout come along, and a truck, for no apparent reason, decides it'd be a good idea to stop and let me go on a roundabout, bearing in mind. So he cuts across the three lanes because he's in the wrong lane, decides to slam his brakes on, flash his lights, honk his horn at me, and wave his hand to tell me to go. And I'm like, ah, because I can see what's happening behind him. A car ran straight into the back of him because he's just stopped in the middle of a roundabout. So I was like, that's weird. So I quickly crossed, ran round, you know, the other side just to see if the person in the other car is okay. But fortunately, this truck had this big, massive, like, bar at the back of it, and the cars just hit it and bounced off. It wasn't a massive hit. It just made a lot of noise. But then the truck decides he's going to get out of the truck to go and check on the person behind him in the middle of a roundabout. Like, don't stop in stupid places, people. If you just go to somewhere safe first. Why do people do this? Anyway, eventually they have an argument. He's shouting he shouldn't stop on a roundabout. The other guy's shouting there's a crossing there, which it turns out he thought there was a crossing where I was crossing, and he was letting me go. There is no crossing. It doesn't even look like there's a crossing. There is no crossing. For some reason, he just got it in his head that there was a crossing and he should stop for me. Anyway, during all this, I just carried on. I had a tram to catch. Fortunately, none of them even cared about me anyway. Finished their argument and they drove off. So, that's kind of a follow-up on an annoyance. You know, the stopping when it's unnecessary to stop kind of thing. And the other one, so on this particular day, I then got to the tram station, which is, like, literally just, I don't know, 30 seconds away from this roundabout. And the tram inspectors were there, which they are a lot lately. So very obviously they're the people checking to make sure you've bought a ticket. Now, I am a big believer in buying a ticket for your public transport because that's what funds it. Yes, I understand there are arguments of does the money get spent well, all that kind of stuff. But I do also think there's so many people that don't pay for a ticket that it makes it hard to spend the money well. Because I've seen a number of people that get pulled off those trams every day because they've not got a ticket. Because they are always, well, almost always, other than late at night, you know, when security would be helpful. They are almost always at this particular stop because this is a stop where a lot of people get off because there's a car park there. And so they basically, they're always on the side where you're coming back from town, not going into town. And sure enough, they were there. And they'd caught two people who didn't have a ticket, and they were having a massive argument. They were swearing at the inspectors, calling them Jobsworth. One of them took something, write you out a ticket, and they take your details. One of them took the ticket and he ripped it up in front of him and threw it at him. Another one spat at somebody else. And then I think they were together, these two lads. And then one of them decided he wanted to fight the others. There were about 13 inspectors, and they were all much, much bigger than these two young lads. It's just, my annoyance there is, you got caught. Just take the ticket and leave. What's the point in arguing? It doesn't make your life any better. It doesn't make their life any better. They're not going to go, oh, God, seeing as you argued with me, I'll let you off this once. They're going to want to give you a ticket. They're going to want to fine you. They're going to want to fine you even more. In fact, what they're probably hoping is that you don't pay the ticket and you end up with a county court judgment or something like that. They want you to be in more trouble because you're just making it harder for them. It's very much like in retail. If you're not nice to someone, they ain't going to be nice to you. But anyway, that's my annoyance, observation, I don't know. Whatever it is for this week, that's what it is. I've got one more story. I always like to finish on one final story. I've been struggling a little bit for entertainment lately. Excuse me. Obviously, as I said, I've been watching a lot of Resident Evil playthroughs on YouTube, but you know, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I've got loads of TV shows to catch up on, and I just haven't got it in me to sort of catch up on them. So every time I do get a chance to watch something, I always end up just browsing Netflix for ages, trying to find something to see. I did, however, find a really good show. I can't remember the name of it right now. I should probably have looked that up before I started. But it was an Australian cooking show. It was really good. I can't remember there was a theme to what they were doing, but basically one of the contestants made this massive, massive meringue. And it was in the shape of like a statue, like they shaped the meringue. It was amazing. Like it was a bit like an ice sculpture, I suppose. And it took the judges were like, that's amazing. You know, they clapped. There's a studio audience. The studio audience actually stood up and clapped. It was one of those. And then the contestants started crying. And I thought, that is so weird. It's such a weird thing because Australians usually boomerangs.